The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kisser365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Mendy Stern.
We are now about to start the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos, the laws of Shabbos. Just as a small preface, it behooves us to take a special care and pay a special attention to the laws of Shabbos, being that Shabbos comes once a week. It's a full seventh of our daily activities, even more because much of Hilchos Shabbos applies to Yom Tov also. If it ends up being a large percentage of our weekly and yearly activities centers around these halachas, these laws, and it would behoove us to take special note and make sure that we are careful to follow all the precepts and all the laws of Shabbos. We start with Siman Ayin Beis, Siman 72, Gedol Kedusha Shabbos, the greatness, the holiness of Shabbos, the great holiness of Shabbos, and one who profanes Shabbos, Hareyu Kimayakam, he is treated for some halachas as a goy, as a non-Jew. V'dinei hachonas Shabbos, and the laws are preparing for Shabbos. Sif Aleph. Shabbos Kodesh, he ha'ois ha'godol. It is the great sign. Shabbos, the holy Shabbos, is the great sign. We have bris and the covenant, shenasa manu ha'kodesh baruch hu, that the Holy One, blessed be He, gave us, gave to His nation, to the Jewish people, but they asked to know that in 6 days also Hashem created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, that the entirety of creation was completed in the 6 days of creation, and everything which contained within the heavens and the earth, the entirety of creation, and He rested, ceased from creative activity on the seventh day, and we cease from creative activity, we rest, quote-unquote, on Shabbos. We do not do malacha, we do not do creative activity on Shabbos to show our belief that the Creator created everything in 6 days and was finished. He ceased His creative activity on Shabbos, and that shows our belief in creation. This is the foundation of our belief that the world didn't happen, didn't come into being all by itself, but rather was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Sheshes and Reberations. Zalman Razal and our rabbis teach us, Shkula Shabbos Kechol Mitzvah. Shabbos is equal to and equivalent to all the mitzvahs. What does that mean? Kol Neshamer says Shabbos Kechosli, anybody who keeps Shabbos, he fulfills the laws of Shabbos, he guards the Shabbos as is proper, he fulfills all the laws of Shabbos properly. It's as if he's fulfilled all the laws of the entire Torah. And anybody who profanes the Shabbos, he does not fulfill the laws of Shabbos. He desecrates the Shabbos. It's as if he has denied the entire Torah. And again, because it's the foundation of our belief system, one who doesn't deem it worthy to keep Shabbos is as if he's denying the validity of our belief system. And once you deny the validity of the belief in the Creator, so then you have denied the validity of all the mitzvahs. Whereas if you affirm your belief in the Creator and the fact that He created us and created everything, and He is the one who gave us the Torah, He has the right to give us the Torah by virtue of being our Creator, then you have affirmed the validity of all the mitzvahs, and therefore one who keeps the Shabbos has affirmed the entire Torah, whereas one who has desecrated the Shabbos has denied the validity of the entire Torah. The Chen Ho'emer, Ezra, so too it says in the verse in Sefer Ezra, V'Har Sinai Yoradeta, and you came down upon Har Sinai, Mount Sinai, V'atitem Ha'amecha Torah mitzvahs, and you gave to your nation the Torah and its laws, the Shabbos Kodesh Ha'idatalehem, and your holy Shabbos you made known to them. The verse seems to equate Shabbos with all the other mitzvahs. It puts them in as if two sides of a scale. You have the Torah and mitzvahs on the one hand, and then you have the Shabbos on the other hand, as if they are of equal importance. Sif Beis, Any person who desecrates the Shabbos brazenly in the open, publicly, he is treated as a non-Jew for all of his words, which means for many areas of halacha. One must not get confused. He is certainly still Jewish. His progeny is, or her progeny is Jewish. If you have a woman who desecrates the Shabbos publicly, there's no question that her children are Jewish, and their marriage can consummate a valid marriage in the eyes of the law. And if they want to divorce their wife, they would have to have a legal halachic get. However, for many areas of halacha, we treat them as a non-Jew. And the kitzur here lists off those areas. In the Ge'a B'yayin Oisrei, if this person, this Mechala Shabbos B'Fahesia, if he touches wine, he makes it forbidden, just as a non-Jew who touches wine. It makes it forbidden for a Jew to drink it. So too, if a person who publicly profanes the Shabbos touches wine, it is forbidden to drink that wine. The apas shehu oifa, and the bread that that person bakes, havik mipas nachri, is like the bread of a personal guy, a non-Jew, and the halacha is that one is not allowed to eat bread of a non-Jew. We're not talking about bread baked in a commercial setting, commercial bakery. Even if the bakery is owned by a non-Jew, the halacha is that one is permitted to eat that bread. Although there are those who are strict and are careful to only eat bread baked even by a Jewish bakery. But certainly everyone agrees that one may not eat the bread of a private individual who is a non-Jew. So too, one may not eat the bread of a private person who is Jewish, but he desecrates the Shabbos publicly. And even though you may know that all the ingredients are kosher and you know that he baked it in a kosher oven, and there's no question that the bread is technically kosher, however, it's forbidden to be eaten. So too, the food that he cooks, it's like food that a non-Jew cooked, which is also forbidden to be eaten. Certain types of food are forbidden to be eaten if they're cooked by a non-Jew. The details of that were discussed earlier in the Kitzur. And so too, this person is treated like a non-Jew in this regard, that if he cooks food, if he cooks, let's say, a steak or something, certainly according to all opinions, even if you know it's kosher and it's kosher meat, and you cooked it using kosher utensils in a kosher oven or barbecue, whatever the situation might be, however, because he cooked it, it is forbidden to be eaten. Now, how do we define a mechala Shabbos b'farhesia, somebody who profanes the Shabbos publicly? So the Kitzur says, if farhesia have b'fnei asorim Yisrael, if he does it in front of 10 Jews, that's called publicly. He continues, v'lav dafka sha'isa b'fnei amamish, it's not specifically if he does it actually in front of them, that they actually witness the act. Ella, rather, sha'yoidin b'me'avera, they are aware of the fact that he is doing this avera, that he is profaning the Shabbos, even though they don't actually see it. So if someone, let's say, for example, goes to work in a job, which almost any job which requires profaning of the Shabbos, and it's clear that he's going to be Mechal Shabbos, even though no one actually saw him take the pen and write or perform forbidden acts. But if it's well known, everybody knows that this person does that, that's called, for Hesia, that's called public desecration of the Shabbos, even though there may not have actually been 10 Jews witnessing the act of desecration. This can be proven, it's clear from the Gemara and the Peskim. The Gemara talks about how Queen Esther, in the story of Purim, how she was allowed to be married to King Ahasuerus, who was a non-Jew, and thus there's a forbidden union. How is she allowed to do that? One is not allowed to commit a sin publicly. One is obligated to give up his wife rather than commit a sin publicly in the presence of 10 Jews. And the obvious question is that no one actually saw in the union of Esther and Ahasuerus. It was obviously done behind closed doors in their private chambers. Yet, because everyone knew that she went to be his wife, so that is considered, for Hesia, that is considered public. The Chayim Kasar Prima Gadim, and this is also written by the Prima Gadim, that Pearson Havas, or Yisrael, he writes that publicity, in this context, we call public, that's publicized, that's either in front of 10 Jews, she is passing the person who is performing the act of desecration, he is aware that it will be publicized, as opposed to a situation where he thought it would be done privately, happens to be it was publicized, that's not considered that he's flagrantly is violating the Shabbos, he personally was trying to keep it quiet. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah brings, that if the person is embarrassed to desecrate the Shabbos, let's say in front of somebody who is a rabbi, he wouldn't, if he sees a rabbi, he would stop being Mechallel Shabbos. He's willing to do it in front of people he considers his peers, he's willing to desecrate the Shabbos even in front of many Jews, but someone who he considers to be more respectable, he would be hesitant, he would not desecrate the Shabbos. That person is not considered a flagrant violator of the Shabbos, and he would not have this status. However, the Mishnah Berurah does say that we're talking here, even if he desecrates the Shabbos even with something which is only rabbinically forbidden, that is sufficient to call this person a Mechal Shabbos before Hesia. But in all events, it has to be that he did it a number of times. He has a habit of flagrantly violating the Shabbos. However, if he only did it once or twice, that does not render this person a Mechal Shabbos b'Fehesia, and you would not have the status. Sif Gimel. Lefika, therefore, Meshabeach HaNavi V'Omer. The Navi praises, the prophet praises one who keeps Shabbos. V'Omer, he says, in the verse in Yeshaya, Ashrei Enosh Yaseh, as praiseworthy is the man, happy is the man who does this, Uvein Adam Yachazik Ba, the person who holds on to this mitzvah, this commandment, which mitzvah? He goes on to say, Shemesh Shabbos Mechalim Vay, one who keeps Shabbos, he guards Shabbos from profaning it, from desecrating it. So that's a wonderful thing, praiseworthy is such a person. Mechal Shemesh Shabbos Kelchosai, anybody who guards Shabbos properly, he keeps the laws of Shabbos properly, or Mechabdai, and he honors Shabbos, and he gives delight to Shabbos by eating foods that bring him delight, and keeping in a happy and mood on, and a delightful mood on Shabbos, as much as he's able to, and he spends money to enable to enjoy Shabbos for the sake of Shabbos. Down came a furish al pianov. It's also explicit by the word of the prophet. Scharei down by mazer, his reward even in this world. Chutz min aschar harav, besides for the great reward that safon el habo, which is hidden away for him in his heavenly bank account, so to speak, and Olam Haba, in the world to come, Shenema, as it says in the verse, and then again in Isaiah, in Toshiv mi Shabbos Raglecha, if you restrain your feet because of the Shabbos, from walking in a way which is improper, Aseis Chafatzecha b'yom kodshi, and you refrain from engaging in your personal pursuits on my holy day, the Karasal HaShabbos Oineg, and you proclaim, you call the Shabbos to be a delight, L'kdosh Hashem Mechubad, you call the holy day of Hashem, Mechubad, the honored one, V'chibaratayim me'asayis d'rachecha, and you honor it, me'asayis d'rachecha, from not engaging in your own personal affairs, v'mitzay chefzecha, you honor it from not seeking your personal pursuits, v'daber davar, and from speaking words which are not appropriate for Shabbos, because you do not speak words which are not, quote-unquote, Shabbosic, not appropriate for Shabbos. And the verse continues and says, the reward, Oz tisanega Hashem, then you shall delight in Hashem. Yir kapticha al-bama se'aretz, and Hashem promises, I shall make you ride, I shall put you on the high places, the heights of the world. Ha'chalticha nachlas Yaakov avicha, and I shall feed you, I shall bestow upon you, endow you with the inheritance or the heritage of Yaakov, your father. Kifi Hashem diber, because the mouth of Hashem has spoken. And this is a prophecy of bounty in this world, that God will shower blessing and bounty upon a person who is careful in fulfilling the precepts of Shabbos. Sift out. Ksiv, the pasuk says, Zachar Sam Shabbos Lekatra, one should remember the day of Shabbos to make it holy. And we're now starting the next segment of this Siman. Until now, we discussed how important Shabbos is, the great holiness it has, the reward one has for keeping it, and how bad it is for one to profane it. We are now discussing Shabbos preparations. And he says that it says in the verse, one should remember the Shabbos to make it holy. Pirush, this means, Shehizkar b'chol yoyim v'yoyim, Yisrael Shabbos l'katcha. You should remember every day of the week, the day of Shabbos, to make it holy. How do you remember Shabbos throughout the week? So it happens to be that one thing we do when in our prayers, at the end of davening of Shacharis, we say, we call the Shir Shal Yoyim, the psalm that was said by the Levim, Levites in the Holy Temple every day with the morning and afternoon sacrifice. And we preface that by saying, Hayom Yoyim Rishon Shabbos, today is the first day of the Shabbos, first day of the count leading up to Shabbos, the second day leading up to Shabbos. We remember Shabbos that way. But the Kitzur here is discussing really preparing for Shabbos. And he tells him there's another way in which we remember Shabbos throughout the week. He tells us, Shemizdamim le'davim d'vam ma'echal choshev. He chanced upon a special food, she'enei shchiyach b'cholyem. It's not commonly found every day. You're not going to be able to buy it in the supermarket on Thursday or Friday. It's just you found it here in the store on Sunday or Monday. V'hu dover she'enei miskalkel. It's something which will not ruin. It won't spoil if you purchase it now and leave it for Shabbos. Yiknei on l'kavod Shabbos. You should always have in mind Shabbos is coming. If you see something special and something you won't be able to get later in the week, even on Sunday or Monday, Tuesday or Wednesday, you should make that purchase in honor of Shabbos. Well, the Erev Shabbos and on Erev Shabbos, on Friday, mitzvah shi'yashkim abayker, it's a mitzvah, it's a positive command, it's a positive thing to get up early in the morning with my tzorchei Shabbos to go to the store and make your purchases for Shabbos. And the reason he says to do this on Friday is because the closer you do it to Shabbos, the more clear it is that you're doing this for the honor of Shabbos. If you make the purchases on Monday, it's less obvious that you're making these purchases for the honor of Shabbos, and therefore a purchase that could be pushed off to the end of the week, he's recommending, advocating, that one should indeed make the purchase on Friday as opposed to earlier in the week. The Yachal Likna is Gam Kaidim Atfilin, although normally a person is not supposed to do his own activities, engage in his own activities before praying the morning prayers. On Erev Shabbos, since it is a mitzvah purpose, he is engaged in a mitzvah by making these purchases for in the honor of Shabbos, he is allowed to make these purchases even before davening. Mishnah Berurah implies that's only if you're not going to be able to purchase them easily afterwards. For example, the bakery runs out of challah by the time you get there, if you'll go after Shabbos, so therefore it's perfectly okay to go before Shabbos, to go before Shacharis. So if you'll get there after Shacharis, after the morning prayers, the bakery won't have the challah you like, so you can go there beforehand. If, however, there's absolutely no difference, the store will have the same food before and after Shacharis, there's no real... Sounds from the Mishnah Berurah, it's preferable to pray to daven Shacharis first. Provided, says the Kitzur, that you do not prevent yourself from praying together with the congregation. Otherwise, it sounds like it's better not to pray b'tzibur. However, the Mishnah Berurah says he's not so convinced. He feels that if you won't be able to make certain purchases, if you wait until after davening, it's better to make the purchases before, and even though you'll end up missing the communal prayers, praying with the congregation, it's better off that you make the purchases in honor of Shabbos, and you'll have to daven b'yechidus, you have to pray by yourself. It's preferable to make your purchases on Erev Shabbos on Friday than to make the purchases even on Thursday. Again, because of what I explained before, that the closer you are to Shabbos, the more clear it is you're doing it for the honor of Shabbos. But something which requires significant preparation, such as, especially in the olden days, if you bought meat, you had to salt and kasher the meat all by yourselves. It took an extended period of time. And therefore, you should purchase them on Thursday. And the Mishnah Berurah points out, and during the winter months, when Shabbos is very early on Friday, it may be a good idea to make many of your purchases earlier. On Thursdays, you shouldn't end up being rushed on Erev Shabbos, and you'll end up running into too close to Shabbos. And every item you purchase for the honor of Shabbos, Yemar, is a positive idea that one should verbally express the covet Shabbos. You should say with your mouth, it's an honor of Shabbos. That's because the person's mouth, the person's words, have a very strong spiritual power, and when he expresses with his mouth that these foods are in the honor of Shabbos, that gives these foods a special holiness, that they are indeed in honor of the Shabbos. Now the Kitzur tells you another halacha, mitakanas Ezra. Ezra HaSefer, the leader of the Jews who went back at the beginning of the Second Temple, after the exile in Babel. So he made a takana, he made a decree, Shiyuhu mechavsin avigadim b'chamishu v'shabbos l'kavet Shabbos, that people should wash their clothes on Thursday in honor of Shabbos, v'loy be'er Shabbos, and not on Friday, v'meshu be'er Shabbos, tzorech le'esasi v'tzorech Shabbos, because on Erev Shabbos, one is busy with other things, he's busy cooking, cleaning the house, getting the house ready for Shabbos, and therefore we don't want to take the time to do his laundry. It sounds from the Kitzur that the main purpose of the Takana was that you shouldn't be busy on Friday doing other things. However, other Paiskim imply that the main purpose of the Takana was you should have clean clothes for Shabbos. The point is not that you shouldn't be busy on Friday, rather because Friday is a busy day and you may not get around to cleaning your clothes, he said clean them on Thursday to make sure you have clean clothes for Shabbos. Which means there comes that there are two elements to this Takana. One is make sure you have clean clothes for Shabbos. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says it's not appropriate for a person to wear his suit, for example, too many weeks in a row without sending it to the cleaners, because then he is really not fulfilling this takana. Takana is make sure to have clean clothes, and if you wear your clothing too many times in a row without properly cleaning it, then you are in violation of this takana. And additionally, one should take care of it on Thursday rather than Friday, because he wants to have his time free on Friday to be able to take care of the other Shabbos preparations. Sifhei, mitzvah kol adam, it's a mitzvah, positive command, for every person. She'af ha'pish, he usually kamen misharzim, even though he has many attendants, many people to help him in the house. Mikol makam yaseh gam hu ve'atzmai eza davar l'kavod Shabbos kedei l'chaver. He himself personally should do something, at least something, in honor of the Shabbos, in order to give honor to the Shabbos on a personal level. I mean, even if he has a whole staff of attendants and a cleaning crew that come in and get his house all ready and they cook the food and everything, he himself should at least do something for the honor of Shabbos. Kidim atzino b'amirayim, like we find the Amirayim, the sages who wrote the Gemara, that they themselves would be involved in the Shabbos preparations. As he quotes the Talmud, Rav Chisda hayam mechatech haseyerek dak dak, Rav Chisda would dice the vegetables finely before Shabbos. The rabbi Rav Yosef, how you mevak and eitzim, they would chop the wood. The rabbi Zera, how you mavak and eitzim, would light the fire in the stove or in the fireplace. Rav Nachman, how you mesak and eitzim, he would fix the house, meaning he would tidy up the house. The machmas kill and asfichum Shabbos, he would bring in all the utensils and the vessels that he needed to use for the Shabbos. Mefan kleachol and remove the weekday utensils. Umehem yumar kodem, and from these great sages, every person should learn the lo yemar, you shouldn't say, leyefka mechvedi, I'm not going to ruin my own honor. In other words, it's not dishonorable. Not dishonorable for me to be involved. I want to blemish my honor. Kizeo kevodei, this is his honor. Shehu mechaber es haShabbos, that he himself gives honor to the Shabbos. That is honor. If you, by honoring the Shabbos, you are giving yourself honor. Similar to somebody who is able to serve the king, is generally considered an honor to actually perform a service for the king, so too to perform a service in honor of Shabbos, that itself is an honor. Sifvot. Haminig v'chol Yisrael, the custom is among, the general custom among all of Jewish people is, le'afai sivvoteim l'chom l'kavit Shabbos, to bake bread in their own houses for the honor of Shabbos, meaning not just to buy pre-baked challah for Shabbos, rather to bake themselves. Loimi boy is not necessary to say that one should have this custom. Im oichlen bimei achel pas palter nachvi. If during the week a person usually eats bread of a non-Jewish baker, which is permissible, but sheishli zor im lechol b'yem haShabbos kodesh pas Yisrael, that on the holy day of Shabbos one should be careful to only eat Jewish baked bread, and therefore if your only source of bread is going to be a non-Jewish bakery, then you certainly should be baking your own bread in honor of Shabbos. Even if during the week he eats the bread of a Jewish bakery, so that's certainly permitted to eat that bread, and there's no reason not to eat that bread on Shabbos. Mikol Makim, still in the Kavod Shabbos, in honor of Shabbos, they should bake bread in the house. And the reason is, Kadesh Tekayim Ha'ishva Mitzvah Hafrashas Chalas, so that the lady of the house should fulfill the mitzvah of Hafrashas Chalas, separating a piece of dough, which really is supposed to be given to a Kayin. However, nowadays, we are all Tamei, the dough is Tamei, it's impure, so we cannot give it to a Kayin, so we burn it. There's a mitzvah separating Chalas, and that piece has more holiness than the rest of the dough. And the reason that the woman of the house should perform this mitzvah specifically on Erev Shabbos is ki Adam HaRishayim, because Adam HaRishayim, Adam, the first man, Nivra Erev Shabbos, he was created on the sixth day of creation, on Friday, Erev Shabbos. So Hayacham Lasei Sholayim, he was, quote-unquote, the Chal of the world, which means that he was the choicest, the more spiritual part of the world. And the Ha'isha b'chetza ibadatai, and the woman Chava, because of her chet, her sin, she caused his destruction. She enticed him to eat from the Eitz Hadas, from the tree of knowledge, and caused death to him as well as to the whole world. V'alkein, and therefore it's v'chayu masakin darazeh, she has to quote unquote fix this matter and by performing the mitzvah of Chava, so that's somewhat of a rectification of this sin. V'aisin shalosh l'chamin, the Kitzur tells us the custom is to make three sizes of challah, of loaves. Gadol u'beinoni v'katan, a large loaf, a medium-sized loaf, and a smaller loaf. Ha'beinoni l'sudas ha'mayim, the medium one is for the nighttime meal. The ha'gadol l'sudas ha'yayim, and the larger one is for the daytime suda. Mahara is to show ki kavod ha'yayim adif, that the honor of the day takes precedence, I assume he'll discuss this later, that if a person has a choice, only one special thing, you should really save it for the daytime suda, because the honor of the daytime suda is supposed to take precedence over the nighttime suda. And therefore, to show that, we have a larger size challah. The akart on the suda shlishis, and the smallest one for the third suda, shal shudis, which most people are not so hungry, just eat it to fulfill the mitzvah of having a third suda. And therefore, one needs only make a smaller loaf, just to fulfill the obligation, not because he usually doesn't need that much food by the time he gets around to Shalosh Shudis.